Hello, welcome to GCSE Physics Essentials. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving into one of the most fundamental topics in your WJEC specification, forces and their interactions. This is topic 4.1, and trust me, it's absolutely crucial for your exam success. Forces are everywhere. Every time you push a door, kick a ball, or even just sit in a chair, forces are at work. But here's the thing. Examiners don't just want you to know what forces are. They want you to calculate with them, explain them, and apply Newton's laws with precision. This topic typically accounts for around 15 to 20 marks across your papers, so getting confident here is non-negotiable. Today we'll cover Newton's three laws of motion, how to work with resultant forces, Hooke's law and springs, and the concept of terminal velocity. By the end of this episode, you'll have a clear roadmap for tackling any forces question that comes your way. Let's get started. Core concepts. 5 minutes. Let's begin with Newton's first law, the law of inertia. This law states that an object will remain at rest or continue moving at a constant velocity unless acted upon by a resultant force. The key word here is resultant. If forces are balanced, the resultant force is zero and there's no change in motion. A book sitting on a table? Balanced forces. A car cruising at 50 miles per hour on a straight road with no acceleration? Balanced forces. Zero resultant force means zero acceleration. Remember that. Now, Newton's second law, F equals ma, force equals mass times acceleration. This is the workhorse equation of this topic. It tells us that the acceleration of an object is directly proportional to the resultant force acting on it and inversely proportional to its mass. So, a larger force means more acceleration. A larger mass means less acceleration for the same force. Simple, right? But here's where candidates lose marks. Always, always show your substitution before calculating. Write the equation, substitute the values with units, then calculate. That's how you secure method marks, even if your final answer is slightly off. Let's do a quick example. A car of mass 1,200 kilograms accelerates at 2 meters per second squared. What's the resultant force? Write it out. F equals m times a. Substitute. F equals 1,200 times 2. Calculate. F equals 2,400 newtons. Units are essential. No units. You lose a mark. Next, Newton's third law. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. But here's the critical detail that trips up so many students. These forces act on different objects. When you push a wall, you exert a force on the wall, and the wall exerts an equal and opposite force on you. They're equal in magnitude, opposite in direction, and crucially, they act on different bodies. This is not the same as balanced forces on one object. Examiners love testing this distinction, so make sure you can explain it clearly. Now, let's talk about Hooke's law. When you stretch a spring, the force needed is directly proportional to the extension, as long as you don't exceed the elastic limit. The equation is F equals K times E, where F is force in newtons, K is the spring constant in newtons per meter, and E is extension in meters. The spring constant tells you how stiff the spring is. A higher K means a stiffer spring. You'll often be asked to find K from a graph by calculating the gradient of the linear section. Remember, gradient equals rise over run, and watch your units. Extension must be in meters, not centimeters. Convert first, calculate second. Finally, terminal velocity. Imagine a skydiver jumping from a plane. Initially, the only force is weight, pulling them down so they accelerate. As they speed up, air resistance increases. Eventually, air resistance equals weight. The resultant force becomes zero, and acceleration stops. The skydiver now falls at a constant velocity, terminal velocity. This concept appears frequently in exam questions, often with a velocity time graph. You need to explain why the gradient decreases and why velocity eventually becomes constant. It's all about forces balancing out. Exam tips and common mistakes. 2 minutes. Right, let's talk exam technique. First, always use the word resultant force in your explanations, not just force. Examiners are looking for precision. If a question asks you to explain motion, refer to the resultant force and its effect on acceleration. Second, in show that questions, you must show every step. Write the formula, substitute with units, and show the final answer. Even if the answer is given, you need to demonstrate the working to earn full marks. Third, watch your units. convert grams to kilograms, centimeters to meters, before you substitute into equations. This is one of the most common mistakes. A correct method with wrong units will cost you marks. Fourth, don't confuse Newton's third law pairs with balanced forces. Action-reaction pairs act on different objects. Balanced forces act on the same object. Know the difference. And finally, when drawing or interpreting force diagrams, make sure your arrows are proportional to the size of the force and clearly labeled. Examiners will penalize vague or unlabeled diagrams. Quickfire, recall, quiz. 1 minute. Let's test your recall. I'll ask a question and you pause and answer. Question 1. What is the equation for Newton's second law? Answer, F equals ma. Question 2. What does Newton's first law state? Answer, an object remains at rest or moves at constant velocity unless acted upon by a resultant force. Question 3. What is the unit of spring constant? Answer, Newtons per meter. Question 4. At terminal velocity, what is the resultant force? Answer, 0. Weight equals drag. Question 5. Do Newton's third law pairs act on the same object or different objects? Answer, different objects. How did you do? If you got them all, brilliant. If not, go back and review those sections. Summary and sign off. 1 minute. Okay, let's wrap up. Today we covered Newton's three laws, the equation F equals ma, Hooke's law for springs, and terminal velocity. These concepts form the backbone of forces and motion in your GCSE physics exam. Remember, always show you're working, use correct units, refer to resultant forces, and understand the difference between action-reaction pairs and balanced forces. Practice is key. Work through past papers, focus on the mark schemes, and pay attention to command words like explain, calculate, and describe. Each one requires a different approach. Thanks for listening to GCSE Physics Essentials. Keep practicing, stay confident, and you'll smash those exams. Good luck!